Podcast. Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Greetings and salutations, my most excellent friends. It's Miller time here on this Monday, June 17th. I'm Steve Miller in Washington, in for Sonny Young, and this is the Sunny Side of Sports. Now, as we get the ball rolling today, I'm joined by the sweet baritone sounds of Prince Nesta. This weekend saw some incredible action in the 2019 Women's World Cup. In fact, I was enjoying a nice Father's Day lunch with my brother, his wife, and his two lovely daughters. And while I was thoroughly enjoying their company and the celebration of the day, I couldn't help but peek over my shoulder at the big screen on the wall to catch a few glimpses of the USA-Chile game that was underway. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go ahead and kick things off with a recap of the Netherlands and Cameroon matchup. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Steve. Viviana Miedema scored twice as the Netherlands saw off a spirited Cameroon 3-1 to secure a place in the last 16 of the Women's World Cup. Miedema's goals came either side of a close-range Dominique Bladwell strike for the European champions, with Gabrielle Ongwene netting for Cameroon. The Netherlands are currently tied for the lead in Group E with Canada, which also clinched a spot in the second round with a 2-0 victory against New Zealand. Kelly Lloyd scored twice, while Julie Arts added another as the United States women national team continued its dominance with a 3-0 win over Chile before a sellout crowd in Paris. Chile's goalkeeper Christian Endler's second-half masterwork in the Chilean net prevented the result from resembling the scoreline in the Americans' first game against Thailand. Sweden also cruised into the knockout stages after comfortably seeing off Thailand 5-1.
Now, Prince, World Cup contender Germany will play its last group stage match against South Africa today. But that's not the only team playing in their last group match today, right?
That's right, Steve. The two-time champions have actually already progressed into the knockout stages and will be confident of topping the table by securing another 3 points against bottom of the table Vanyana Vanyana, who have a slim chance of making the next round unless they defeat the national 11 of Germany, who, as things stand, have no pressure at all to perform. The experience and quality to pick up the pace when it matters the most makes it so difficult for opponents to play against them. In their first two games, the Germans really weren't as clinical, but the backline was extremely difficult to penetrate, and therefore the South Africans will need to fire from all cylinders and execute a well-planned game plan to boost their chances of qualifying. Spain and China will also go head-to-head in their last group stage match. Each have one win and one defeat apiece, and their crucial encounter is actually a must-win for either side to proceed to the knockout stage. Nine-time African champions Nigeria's Super Falcons remains the brightest chance of an African team progressing as they take on host France later today in Group A. Nigeria, which remains the only African nation to have qualified for every Women's World Cup since the tournament began in 1991, should watch out for French striker Les Sommer, who has scored 76 goals for France, including a penalty in the win over Norway, although a goal against Nigeria will make her France's all-time leading scorer at World Cups with 6. The Super Falcons will need to be proactive in their approach, and hopefully they'll be able to avoid a repeat of their 8-0 drubbing at the hands of France last year.
Now, Prince, switching gears for just a moment, what can you tell me about the 2019 AFCON warm-up matches?
That's right, Steve. Kenya's Harambee Stars concluded their preparations for the African Cup of Nations with a 1-1 draw against the Democratic Republic of Congo, while Algeria defeated Mali 3-2 in Doha. The Black Stars of Ghana were also held to a pulsating 0-0 draw by the Bafana Bafana of South Africa in Dubai, while Taifa Stars of Tanzania drew 1-1 with Zimbabwe as Egypt saw off Guinea 3-1 in Alexandria. Zambia also defeated Morocco 3-2 on their own turf, while Everton Stars Idrissa Gueye's long strike in the 18th minute was all the Senegalese needed to edge out the Super Eagles of Nigeria.
Finally, Maurizio Sarri has finally left Chelsea to take charge of Juventus.
Right on, Steve. The 60-year-old reportedly agreed to become manager of Serie A champions Juventus on a 3-year deal. He actually joined the Blues from Napoli in July 2018, leading them to third in the Premier League and won the first major trophy of his career at the Europa League. The move, which is likely to infuriate Napoli supporters, will ensure Sarri replaces fellow Italian Massimiliano Allegri, who left Juventus at the end of last season. Derby boss and former Chelsea midfielder Frank Lampard has been heavily linked with taking over from Sarri at Chelsea. I'm Prince Nesta on the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to you, Steve.
Thanks, Prince. Of course, that's Prince Nesta, who provided that awesome recap of the weekend's World Cup action and oh, so much more. Now, backtracking for just a bit to the Netherlands-Cameroon match this weekend, our Kwabena Ofori is in France, and he actually had the opportunity to speak with several of the players after their match, and he was first able to catch up with the Netherlands' Jill Roord.
You play a very deserving game, and you got the 3 points in me.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
Yeah, we feel very happy, of course. With moments, it was not our best game, but I think in the end, what you said, it was a deserved win.
So how are you going forward for the knockout stage preparation?
We want to be top of the group, so we want to win against Canada.
Mm-hmm. So what is the future now? I mean, you are targeting for the
grand finale? We hope we can attack for the grand finale, but okay. We want to see it match by match. So Canada's first, and then we'll see after.
Tell me, how do you regard the Cameroonians you played today? Was it a tough team for you?
For us, it's a tough game because in Europe, we don't get to play much against those physical teams. So I think, like, yeah, Cameroon, it's really they're really physical, they're fast, they're strong in the duel. So
Yeah, and of course, the secret to any win, no matter what sport you play, but especially in football or soccer, as we call it here in the United States, is allowing fewer goals than your opponent. And that was the start of the conversation that Kwabena had with Netherlands goalkeeper Sarri van Veenendaal.
Yes, that's definitely true. I'm the stopper and I'm doing my best to stop the goals. But they scored one today, so then I haven't done my job good enough.
So you say you were on holidays?
Sorry?
You were on holidays today?
No, I will not say that, but that are your words.
Yes. Yeah, you did some brilliant work. Tell me, what is the secret for keeping the goals without conceding more goals?
I can't tell you any secret. I mean, that's a secret, so that's all mine.
Okay, so how are you preparing for the knockout stage?
Well, we're first preparing for the next game against Canada because I think that's still a pretty important game for us, and we want to be ahead of the group. Is it ahead of the group?
Yeah.
So, we're going to give our all, and we want to get the 3 points.
Yeah, first half was equal, 1-1. Mm-hmm. How did you feel? You expected Cameroon to give you more pressure?
Well, we expected a tough game. They've done a good job, but in the second half, I think we've played some better football and we needed that. So at the end, I think the score is .
And as the Netherlands, or sometimes referred to as Holland, comes away with the win, Cameroon head coach Alan Jumfa says he's not necessarily focusing on the loss, but also looking forward to the next game.
The strength of the type, the style of play. You know, Canada is not the Holland, it's the different style of play. So we try to prepare the match against Canada for the way that we play. And we prepare this match of today against Holland for the way we play. You know, we use our own tactical way to be aware for the two tasks. You have to continue to prepare, you know, if you are the third position, they're supposed to take fourth team on the third position, so that we're supposed to continue our preparation, so that we have to be on top on those days to have a victory against the New Zealand.
A huge thanks to Kwabena Ofori in France for bringing us those exclusive interviews after the match. I'm Steve Miller in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Now, Nigeria's men's national football team, also known as the Super Eagles, I almost feel like we need to have a little Steve Miller playing in the background there, but they have arrived in Egypt to continue preparations for the 2019 African Cup of Nations Tournament, or AFCON. Nigeria is in Group B with Guinea, Madagascar, and Burundi, and will play their matches in Alexandria. Some football analysts have been looking at the chances of the Super Eagles at the AFCON tournament. Dema Fuludu is a former member of the Nigerian national team that played in the 1994 World Cup held in the United States. Fuludu spoke with reporter Iron Mike Mbonye about the chances of the team in the Nations Cup. He says the Super Eagles have young, talented players that can do their country proud.
Yeah, I think this set of Super Eagles are a lucky bunch, just like the 1994 squad, where preparation was key for their going to the AFCON. They have been able to play some friendlies, some quality friendlies, and they've been in camp in and out. And you know that in camping is because most of the boys are from the foreign countries, so it's difficult to keep them for long. However, with the status of those playing in their clubs and their fitness level monitored by the coach, they are doing a good job. I think their preparation is on course.
How would you rate the chances of the team against others when the AFCON tournament begins?
Well, we have a name as Nigeria, and we are a country to be beaten always. But for this AFCON, if you ask me to throw my money in, I will not give the Eagles the highest chance to win the AFCON. We don't have superstars in our team as it is, but I think youthfulness is going for us. We have a lot of young players that are doing very well, that are strong and that are hungry. But you see, the North African teams like Egypt, Morocco, and some of the other teams that are going there, Senegal, I think they are a high-quality side as it is today in their rating. So we need to contend very well, but we will get there if we are able to go through the preliminary stages first.
Some analysts suggest that Coach Gernot Rohr, the Super Eagles manager, should include or add some members of the Nigeria Under-20 team that just played in the FIFA Under-20 World Cup. Your take on this?
Well, for the people who are saying for the Under-20, the Under-20, they had an abysmal performance. Nobody would want to look at a team where they completely failed as it is. And they are supposed to be young players, vibrant, who are supposed to show a lot of skill and energy and talent and techniques. But we can't really pick players from there to come and put in the Super Eagles team right now. I've always been an advocate of homeboys playing for the national team as in going to AFCON, that we should also include some of our home-based players to give a sense of belonging to our league and to also help it develop. Because I believe that, you know, a country's quality of football, it should be determined by the league they play. And so we should also try to encourage most of these boys that are playing here. They may not be top-shot quality, but given opportunities like they train abroad and play with good facilities, they will get better because we are all talents here. But for the Under-20, I don't believe that we have people that can go into that team as it is right now. If you're looking at the Under-23, maybe. But for the Under-20, for me, no.
That was Adema Fuludu, former member of the Nigerian national team. He was speaking with reporter Iron Mike Mbonye in Asaba, Nigeria. The Webb Ellis Rugby World Cup trophy was blessed by Shinto priests during a ceremony in Japan's former capital of Kyoto today, before the trophy embarks on a tour of the country ahead of the tournament. During the ceremony at the Shimogamo Shrine, priests prayed for a successful tournament, which will begin on September 20th when host Japan face Russia in Tokyo. The shrine is believed to be the site of the first rugby match in Japan's western Kansai region. Former Japanese rugby player Yukio Motoki said that the ceremony was part of Japanese culture and that he was given courage by it. He also noted that there is 3 months before the World Cup begins, and the ceremony will help give a good start to that tournament. Fans like Naomi Imayoshi, who was present at the ceremony, said on Monday that she was keen to be a part of these celebrations. She said that unfortunately she can't go to the games, but her husband and son will go to one in Kobe. It's not a Japanese game, but they're all excited about attending it. Japan is the first country outside of rugby's traditional heartland to host a World Cup. I'm Steve Miller in for Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The Russian anti-doping agency says it plans to file doping cases against 33 athletes from a range of sports for using banned treatments from a doctor. The agency known as RUSADA says the suspects who use the unspecified banned method include 19 track and field competitors, two of them athletes with disabilities, as well as five cyclists, a boxer, and a gymnast. All of them are from a sports academy in Chuvashia in central Russia, a region known for its track and field squads. RUSADA says it reported a sports doctor to lower law enforcement under a Russian law against inducing athletes to dope. However, RUSADA says the case was closed after authorities ruled her conduct wasn't a crime because she hadn't been officially informed the treatment was banned. Roger Federer said on yesterday that he is relaxed and pleased with his form as he heads into the grass court season, looking for his 10th title as the Halle Open begins.
Well, I mean, I think I look back memory lane a little bit and see how many good moments I've had here, how much success I've had. I've had buddies of mine who actually used to practice here, you know, at the academy here, you know, in Halle. Now, I've always had also nice times with the family. You know, my family always enjoyed coming here. I think it's also between the two big cities of Paris and London to come here to Halle is sort of very relaxing.
The Swiss world number three had a good run on clay at the French Open, where he lost to Rafa Nadal in the semifinal, and said he is looking forward to playing on the grass at one of his favorite tournaments in the small German city.
And, you know, I was really positive about my clay court swing. You know, I lost against the best clay court player ever, so there's no shame there. And I tried everything I had in the bag, you know, and it's unbelievably windy conditions, and it was really challenging. I loved it, actually, to play rough in a situation the way it was, but I left very positive.
Federer faces Australia's John Millman in the first round as he looks to begin his preparations for Wimbledon, where he will be aiming to win the title for the ninth time.
The pressure is high for me, too, because the grass court season is extremely short. There's not that much I can do to get into it as well, other than just have that point-for-point mentality, that the focus needs to be, you know, crystal clear. And that's what I need to have from the get-go here as I play John Millman in the first round, who's been a tough one for me in the past.
The Halle Open runs through June 23rd. I'm Steve Miller in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Swinging over to the United States and Major League Baseball, the man charged with shooting Boston Red Sox legend David Ortiz admitted that he shot him, but said he was hired to kill someone else. TMZ Sports reported Friday that the 25-year-old Rolfi Fierra Cruz told reporters who had crowded outside the jail in the Dominican Republic that Ortiz was not the target. Through the bars of his cell, Cruz said he was sent to the Santo Domingo Club on Sunday to kill a man who happened to be dressed like Ortiz. Late Thursday, though, police in the Dominican Republic arrested three more people in connection with the shooting, bringing the total number in custody to 9. At least one more individual is being sought. Broadcaster CNN also reported Friday that authorities in the Dominican Republic disputed the report, saying Cruz had admitted to them that Ortiz was indeed the target of the attack. Instead, they speculated that he had changed his story because he feared retribution from Ortiz's fans inside the jail. New York Yankees outfielder Aaron Judge began a rehab stint at AAA Scranton Wilkes Barre as he continues his recovery from a strained left oblique. Judge has been sidelined since the beginning, being injured against the Kansas City Royals on April 20th. He is batting .288 with 5 homers, 11 RBIs in 20 games this season. Judge served as the designated hitter on Friday night. The team also said that outfielder Giancarlo Stanton will join Judge at the facility to continue his rehab stint. Stanton hit 3 homers in 2 games for Class A Tampa earlier this week. Boone said Stanton could rejoin the Yankees on Tuesday if he doesn't have any setbacks. Oakland Athletics outfielder Stephen Piscotty had surgery to remove a melanoma on his right ear and is expected to return to action within the next week. A dermatologist identified a mole on his ear as suspicious and a biopsy determined that it was skin cancer. The surgery was performed Thursday at the California Pacific Medical Campus by Dr. Brian Parrott, who removed the mole in its entirety. The A's added that Biscotti is resting at home and would be evaluated daily as he awaits the results of a pathology report. Biscotti, who is 28, is batting .250 with 8 home runs and 29 RBIs in 65 games this season. Detroit Tigers prize pitching prospect Casey Mize appeared to have avoided a serious injury when an MRI exam identified inflammation but no structural damage in his right shoulder. Mize, the number one overall draft pick in the 2018 out of Auburn, departed his Thursday start for Double-A Erie in the third inning after experiencing a loss of velocity in his pitches. Erie placed Mize on the 7-day injury list Friday. Noted orthopedic surgeon James Andrews was among those who were reviewing Mize's test results, which found soreness on the back of Mize's pitching shoulder. Mize, who was rated the number one pitching prospect and number three overall prospect by MLB Pipeline, is 8-0 with a .92 ERA and 13 starts in the minors this season. Now, we're going to take a look at the U.S. Open, which wrapped up yesterday on the links of the glorious Pebble Beach. Joining me in the studio, as he did on Friday, with all the knowledge pertaining to professional golf, much more than I have, is VOA intern and Brown Daily Herald sports writer Ryan Handel. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports, Ryan.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
So let's take a look at the big winner on Sunday, taking home $2.25 million in purse prizes. That's Gary Woodland. Now, the American has won the match with an impressive 13 under par, but many casual golf fans really haven't heard of Woodland before this weekend. Can you give us some background on his career?
Woodland is an American golfer from Kansas who had been relatively under the radar until now. He had won 3 PGA Tour tournaments in his 12-year pro career, all at modest minor events, before coming to Pebble Beach. He entered the U.S. Open ranked just 25th in the world, but he came out of nowhere to take home first place.
Now, if we take a look at Woodland's game in and out of itself, what do you think, what aspect of it do you think was most crucial to his win?
I would say that it's an aspect of his game called scrambling. So in golf, scrambling is a statistic that refers to how often a player misses the green in regulation but still saves par. So basically, it's a golfer's ability to recover after a bad shot to start a hole. Entering the U.S. Open, Woodland was ranked 169th on the PGA Tour in scrambling, so fairly mediocre. But this weekend, Woodland was first in that category, and that's all that mattered. His resilience and his composure after some underwhelming tee shots allowed him to take the title.
So what happened to our other major contenders on Sunday?
Well, the favorite entering the tournament, Brooks Koepka, the two-time defending U.S. Open champion, entered the final round on Sunday, just 4 shots back of the lead, and he made a late charge. He was just 1 stroke back of Woodland with only 5 holes remaining, but Woodland's clutch putting prevented Koepka from completing the three-peat. Justin Rose was just 1 shot back of Woodland entering Sunday's round, but faded in the final round and finished in a 4-way tie for third.
So if we take a look at some of the major players that were participating in the U.S. Open, which stars kind of left fans disappointed as the tournament wrapped up?
Despite making the cut, PGA Tour veterans Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, and Dustin Johnson failed to make a serious push for the U.S. Open title. A triple bogey on the 18th in the third round doomed Phil Mickelson, while Tiger and DJ just couldn't string together enough momentum to go on a winning run.
Now, outside of Woodland, which relatively unknown golfers shined during the U.S. Open?
A relatively unknown golfer from Norway, an amateur named Victor Hovland. Hovland carded the best score of any amateur golfer at the 2019 Masters, and then he repeated the feat at Pebble Beach. The 21-year-old is definitely a rising star to watch out for in the coming years.
Thanks so much for that insight. That was VOA intern and Brown Daily Herald sports writer Ryan Handel. And I got to say, I was watching some of the match this weekend and reading the reports. One of the things that really caught my eye was how Tiger Woods started off bogeying several different holes. But later in the match, man, he really came back. He really played strong.
Yeah, I mean, Tiger definitely had the skill to win the U.S. Open, but Gary Woodland was just too tough this weekend.
And that wraps up the June 17th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. On behalf of our producer, Bill Werkinger, and engineer, Pete Handley, thank you so much for joining us on this magnificent Monday. Until next time, I'm Steve Miller in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, thousands of men, women, and children are forced to flee to escape violence and persecution. June 20th marks World Refugee Day. Global refugee awareness on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
This is Science in a Minute.
A study recently published in the journal Atmospheric Chemistry and Physics suggests the thawing permafrost in Alaska is releasing emissions of nitrous oxide at a rate that's about 12 times higher than had been assumed. Nitrous oxide is considered the third most significant human-generated greenhouse gas behind carbon dioxide and methane. Climate scientists say greenhouse gases traps heat in the atmosphere and warms the planet. Lead author of the study, Jordan Wilkerson from Harvard University, said small increases in nitrous oxide emissions would have the same effect on climate change as a large plume of carbon dioxide. The study points out that once in the stratosphere, nitrous oxide combined with sunlight and oxygen also changes into nitrogen oxides, which may harm the ozone. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Thanks for listening to Border Crossings with Larry London. We're honoring Avicii, one of EDM's greatest producers, who tragically passed away last year, with a month-long giveaway of his new album, Tim. The album includes vocals from many prominent artists, including Chris Martin and more. Tune in at 1500 Universal every weekday in June for your chance to win a free copy of Tim. Anyone who makes a request has a chance to win.
Border Crossings!
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
Hi, this is Victor Beatty, Managing Editor of VOA News. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.